am talking via Skype to countertenor Barney Smith of the British vocal ensemble Voces 8, who is currently in Ireland right now.
We are in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, in fact, yes.
Wonderful. How's the weather there?
A little bit drizzly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got to be careful not to get caught out, otherwise you get a bit wet.
Well, thanks for taking time out of your very busy touring schedule to talk with me.
Absolute pleasure.
Barney, tell us a little more about the group. How did this all start?
Well, this began about 13 years ago. The original membership, of which I am now the only one left, we were friends in a youth choir. And that youth choir used to meet during the holidays from college. And once we got a little bit old for that, I decided with my brother Paul, actually, that we would love to keep in touch with all these singing friends that we've made. Mm-hmm. So we set up our own choir. And about a couple of years after that, we were invited purely by chance to take part in a big choral competition in Spain and in Italy. And we sort of entered just because we thought it would be good fun. And we ended up winning those competitions. Mm-hmm. And people started offering us concerts. And that was about 11 years ago now. So ever since then, the whole thing's just been growing a little bit every year. And here we are 11 years later.
Who are the current members?
The current members, a mixture. We have Andrea, our top soprano, has been with the group the longest, apart from myself. She's done over a decade with us now. Along the way, some of the original members decided, you know, they wanted to either go and do sort of other things with their career. So we've got a couple who are opera singers now, some people involved in music education. As they've sort of retired from their positions in the group, we've appointed singers as we go along. And we have a wonderful team of eight people who still very much carry out the missions that were the mission statements, I suppose, and the visions and goals of the original membership of the group. So it's a great pleasure for me to be able to work with that and lead that group.
And so what is the mission of Voces 8?
Well, we have two, really. When we set up the group, we wanted, of course, to travel the world singing great concerts. And we're very committed to promoting the art of vocal music. The other thing that we're very passionate about is our education and outreach program. Mm-hmm. And so we began a foundation called the VCM Foundation. And that's also been running concurrently with the ensemble. And our mission there, of course, is to inspire people to sing and use their voices. But one of the problems that we have here in the UK, and I know is a problem worldwide as well, is trying to get music into schools and even trying to get a music teacher into a school. That's not something we can do in every school in the UK, unbelievably. It's really in the news at the moment, actually. And so we're trying to get into as many schools as possible, of course, to inspire the children. But also we have been creating some teaching resources, books and publications and online resources that will enable teachers, not necessarily specially trained music teachers, to be delivering some music and some of the creative arts in schools on a daily basis. So that's another big part of our mission as an ensemble.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned VCM, a music charity. Could you talk a little bit more about what that is?
Yeah, sure. So that charity is now based in London. About 5 years ago, we went into partnership with the Diocese of London and the Bishop of London, who's based in St. Paul's Cathedral. And one of the great things about the City of London, which is the square mile, where a lot of the banking sector is actually based and the financing sector is based, is that there are 40 churches in that square mile.
Wow.
And of course, because it's the banking sector, there's not a lot of people around on a Sunday morning to actually go to those churches and worship.
Gosh.
So the congregation base is simply not there to sustain 40 churches. So the Diocese of London decided that they would use some of the churches to house charities that were based in the city that were fulfilling missions that were similar to those of the church. Mm. And they actually selected us as one of those charities. So we now run a centre of vocal music down right next to St. Paul's Cathedral. A beautiful Christopher Wren church. Christopher Wren was the architect that designed St. Paul's. So this was one of the practice projects for his great venture that was going to happen around the corner. And in that building, we've called it the Gresham Centre. Mm-hmm. And in that building, we do everything from high-level concerts all the way through to bringing in children from inner-city schools from all over the world, in fact, to come and sing with us and engage in musical experiences. And so that's the hub of what we do. And then we also have people who go out and deliver music education courses. Obviously, the charity has Voces 8 as its leading ensemble, And we also have another ensemble called Apollo 5. So there's loads going on.
Yeah.
And the real aim of it is to spread the joy of singing, and specifically to try and get music back into the curriculum in all the schools.
Yeah. What a wonderful organization. You are currently on tour. Are you performing the album that you just released in 2018, Equinox?
We are doing some music from that album. We're currently in Ireland. After this, we're going down to the UK for a concert in Canterbury, which is an incredible cathedral down there. And then we come over to the US. And yeah, absolutely. We take a lot of music from the Equinox album. Also, just sort of firm favourites of the groups and of our repertoire that we've developed over the past 13 years. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag, but variety is the spice of life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I read that you are releasing another album next year. Can you tell me more about that?
We are, yep. We are very lucky that we record with a wonderful record label called Decca Classics. Some of your listeners may know the tenor Luciano Pavarotti.
Oh, yes.
It was also Pavarotti's record label. So we feel like we're an esteemed company. And we've made a new album, which we're not actually sure what the title is going to be, but it includes a lot of folk-inspired music, and that's going to be coming out in January. So we're just sort of putting the finishing touches to that. We may even be singing a couple of the songs from it when we come over to the US this fall.
How do you choose music for your programs or for your albums?
Well, a number of different ways. Often with the classical music, we are asked to sing either a specific piece or we're given a theme by festivals and promoters that we work for. So we have to sort of work a little bit to the specifications. With the more contemporary stuff in our repertoire, so the music that we have specifically arranged, whether that's pop music or jazz music or folk music, a lot of that comes from working with an album concept. So like we've been working with Decca in the last 6 months. Also, we're very lucky that we work with a lot of arrangers who have their own ideas for songs they'd like to write for the group. So they will often come to us with ideas. And then, of course, we tend to pick some music in addition to all of that, which is just music we'd like to sing. And it's my job as artistic director to sort of take all those ideas and melt them into sort of coherent programs that we can present on stage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I understand that you also commission some works from composers.
We do. Yep. Every year we have a composer in residence, which is fantastic. So this year it's a wonderful British composer called Jonathan Dove, who some of your American listeners might know because he's written a number of operas, including a commission for the Metropolitan in New York. So he's also quite well known in America. And we're very committed to creating new music. So we try to get involved with festivals as well. If they have commissions, we ask to be involved in those as much as we can. And we go out and fundraise to get as many new pieces written as possible. So that's also another important part of our repertoire.
Yeah. So tell me about your rehearsal process. About how long does it take you to learn a new program?
Well, it sort of depends. I mean, it depends how hard the music is, obviously. With stuff that's not challenging, we're very blessed in the UK in some ways, in the fact that the general level of reading ability over here is very high, because we have a tradition in our cathedrals that we sing evensong every day, and so every day there's new music, and you have to be able to sing that music after a half an hour rehearsal. That's great in some ways because you get the music off to a really fast start. Sometimes we have the problem in our culture that a fast start's good, and once you've made the fast start, then it feels like it's okay to perform. But I think, you know, it's true across a whole different set of disciplines that getting from 0% to 80% often doesn't take very long, but getting from 80% to 100% can take a lot longer.
So
depending how difficult the music is, we might, for a 3-minute piece of classical music, we might spend 3 to 4 hours rehearsing that. But if it's a piece of an arrangement, say, that's maybe particularly difficult, or a particularly hard piece of contemporary repertoire, it may be 3 times that, so it might take us 10 hours to get 3 minutes on the road. So I reckon every year we're doing somewhere in the region of 300 hours of rehearsal, and we probably get through 150, 200 pieces of music. So, but some of that music is stuff that the group has sung before, but the new members don't know. And some of it is stuff that's new to the whole group. So it varies, but it's rehearsal is a necessary part of life, and so we embrace it and enjoy it
very much. So yeah, I mean, one of the things that amazes me about your group is the unified sound, which is not easy to achieve. I guess that's that extra 20% that you were talking about. But does that come easy for you all? I mean, just from performing together so much, or is that something that you really have to work on?
There's an element of it coming more easily now that we sing together a lot, but it is definitely something that we think about. And it's something that we've developed our own ethos, I suppose, our own house style in order to achieve. So that's taken a decade to create that style. So again, depending on the repertoire, depending on the technical challenges that are involved with a piece of music, will depend how long it takes us to achieve that. But yeah, it's something that we work very hard on and place a high level of importance on as well.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, at least here in America, the interest in singing a cappella vocal music is growing, especially among young people. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, for sure. And the sing-off and pentatonics and all that sort of genre of music is very exciting. And it's not just in America, it's also had a big effect over in Europe, where obviously we've always had great a cappella groups, but now a cappella music is hitting the charts. That's really having a big impact. And it's very exciting because I think, you know, there's something special, isn't there, about the human voice. And we can all relate to it because we all understand the empathy or the feeling that's being offered to us by a singer, because we've all grown up talking to each other. And of course, the voice is how we communicate. So we sort of have an ability as singers, I think, to reach a little deeper into somebody's soul than perhaps some of the other instruments, if we do it correctly. So I think it has a very important place in our culture. And I'm delighted that now it's getting such a big fan base in young people. That's really exciting.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like also, you know, singing together, it creates community, and which is, I don't know, in this modern time, it's kind of a hard thing to find.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, when we have the problems that we have politically, in terms of also international relations, singing can really bring people together. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we notice as we tour around the world is how, especially when you go to parts of the world where there are problems in society, singing always helps.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, Barney, I believe that's all I have for you today. Thanks again for talking with me, and safe travels to America.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed. Nice to catch up.
Barney Smith, a countertenor and artistic director of Voces 8, internationally acclaimed vocal ensemble and top recording artist for Decca Classics label. The 8-member a cappella group performs a wide variety of music ranging from classical to pop. They are performing at the Clayton Center for the Arts in Maryville on November 9th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets and information at claytonartscenter.com.